Hello and welcome to Jilly Bowl, the podcast about that song you know, but know nothing about. I'm Emily.
I'm Jamie.
Each week we will break down a topic from Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. We will take turns being the expert as we dive into these people, events, etc. Disclaimer, if you are already a history buff, this podcast isn't for you. If you're a sweet dum-dum just like us and want to know a little more, you're in the right place. This week's topic, Catcher in the Rye. I forgot for a second. But it's Catcher in the Rye.
Okay. It's a book, right?
It is a book.
Okay.
Did you read it in high school?
If I did, I do not remember a lick of it.
That's okay. It's okay that you don't remember because I don't like this book.
And you like know books.
I do know books because I am an English teacher.
Yes.
And
of children who would be reading this, yes?
No.
Oh.
But close.
Your kids are younger?
I teach a younger group than this group.
Okay.
But fun fact, when I was the age... So, I teach 7th grade.
Yes.
And when I was in 7th grade, my dad was like, this was my favorite book. You should read this book. And so, I started reading it, and immediately was like, this book is wildly inappropriate for me. There's a swear word, like, every paragraph.
Oh, that sounds interesting to me now.
And I was like, I don't understand what the hell's going on. But I did read it in high school. And I think I maybe kind of liked it in high school. But now as an adult, I'm over it. And we're going to talk about it.
Okay, tell me. I'm ready to learn.
Okay, so Catcher in the Rye was a book written by J.D. Salinger. It came out in 1951 and was like immediately a big success.
Okay.
Instant hit, popular.
For young adults?
Yes.
Okay.
For young adults and maybe like adultish people our age, 30-somethings or so. But yes, definitely like young adult reader. Not, when I say young adult, I should say like adolescent, like teenagers, college age people.
Okay.
And the reason why is because it kind of focuses on this depiction of adolescence, alienation, loss of innocence, with the main character, the protagonist, Holden Caulfield.
Okay.
Does that name, is that familiar?
Holden,
yeah.
Okay.
Holden Caulfield. It is still incredibly popular and read and sells about a 250,000 copies a year worldwide.
Wow. You'd think that there'd be enough copies out there already.
Right? I wonder if when we count those copies a year, are we counting ebooks now? We've got to be, right? When I say we, I'm obviously part of like...
Yes, you are part of the club.
I'm part of the club.
Yeah, yeah. The You're in club. On this. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about the plot of this book, which is basically there's not a lot of plot of the book. Which is, okay, Holden Caulfield is a teenager. He's like a junior or something in high school. He's at this boarding school in Pennsylvania. And he gets kicked out, and it's his third school he's been kicked out of. And he gets kicked out because he, like, is a shithead, basically. He, like, doesn't bring his equipment to something, and then
How
he's, like...
How could he?
Oh. He just, like, doesn't care about things, because he's, like, all...
Angsty
about it.
At boarding school.
At his boarding school, right.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. First, yeah, eye roll.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets kicked out, and he decides before going home to facing his parents, he's gonna just kind of, like, dick around New York City and see people that he knows and do things. And the whole book is basically him going around from person to person and saying, like, this person's a phony, this person's a phony. The whole book is all about him calling people phonies.
Okay.
Everybody's fake.
Okay.
Okay. The only person he really likes is, there's this girl back home that he likes.
Love interest?
Obviously nothing happens. Oh. Nothing good. Sorry, I had to, like, slap my knee out of just, like, annoyance.
Yeah.
No, nothing really materializes with the girl next door.
Okay.
He has a younger sister who he loves dearly and cares about her. That's kind of the only person that he feels like he can be real with, and the only person that he feels is real is this younger sister. There's a lot of symbolism in the book about, like, reaching for the golden ring is this symbol that comes up. There's a carousel that he takes his younger sister to that's supposed to be, like, some symbolism of some shit.
Okay.
The title of the book, Catcher in the Rye, is the main character mishears lyrics to a song. I don't even know what the real lyrics are, but the idea is he's standing in a field of rye, right? Like a field of wheat, and there's all these children playing. And if the children aren't paying attention, they're going to fall over the cliff. Like, there's on this field of rye if they don't pay attention. And so it's his job to catch the children and keep them in the field. And it's this metaphor for your loss of innocence.
Okay.
If you're over this metaphor, so the fuck am I.
Okay.
Okay.
It's so much. So, like, wait. This metaphor was in the song, or he, like, what was that?
I don't know if it's in the song, because you mishear, I think the word catch, I don't fucking know. I'm just so fucking over this book. It's basically this, like, bitchy dude who, like, doesn't like anyone, and he dicks all around New York City and hates everybody, and
but he catches children and saves them.
Right, like, he gets so frustrated because he doesn't like, there's, like, not perversion in the world, but he, like, he feels really torn about the way that, like, children are exposed to things. Like, there's this one scene where, like, I think, like, I can't remember.
He should check it out, like, now in the 20th century, man.
What
century
are we in? I don't know.
21st century?
39th.
Yeah, that sounds right.
There's, like, a scene where there's, like, some curse words written on the side of a building. It's probably fuck, because I've said it, like, 17 times. But there's, like, a swear word on the side of a building, and he gets, like, really upset, because he's like, what if a kid sees this? And then they're going to get upset, and they don't need to see this. And actually, I agree with you there, Holden. Yeah,
for sure.
But
the kid don't know.
I mean, a lot of the book, it's just, it's a weird, there's not a lot of plot to it. Like, it's basically this kid avoiding his parents and having to deal with the fact that he's been kicked out of three boarding schools. He very clearly, like, this book was, like I said, written in the 50s. Looking at it now, it's like, clearly this person is suffering from some anxiety and some depression and, like, all that. And we can have conversation about that. Read the book if you want to, or go to,
How long is it?
It's only, like, 250, 300 pages. It's not very long.
Yeah, I don't think I read it in whatever...
You know what? You would have remembered it because it has so many swear words. You'd have been like...
I would have been like...
Oh, shit.
I would have felt... Maybe that's why I blacked it out, because it was so wildly inappropriate. Because I was a very naive little baby.
If you had read it, you would have read it as, like, a junior or a senior, though. You wouldn't have read it as, like, a freshman. I was still a naive,
very little baby.
I mean, you were. You sweet little beautiful mermaid. Yeah. I love you so much.
Thanks. I love you, too. Long pass, though. Long pass.
Hard pass. Okay, so I don't want to talk about the dumb book anymore. Let's move on. I want to talk about more of the cultural significance of this book.
Yes. Okay.
Now let's get into some horrible things.
Okay.
Let's talk about some shootings.
Oh.
My least favorite subject, probably. It's up there. This book is actually synonymous with a number of shooters. People using this book... or referencing this book
as like
part
that.
Of... I know. I hate it. And maybe that's also part of the why I don't like this book. So, one of the, like, most significant references of this book being used with someone is Mark David Chapman's assassination of John Lennon. He claims kind of to have identified with the novel's narrator of Holden... and that he even at one point wanted to change his name to Holden Caulfield. Oh, like, he maybe tried to legally change it.
There's your sign.
Yeah. Like, on the night that he shot Lennon, there was a copy found amongst some of his things, and in it he had written, like, from Holden Caulfield to Holden Caulfield, this is my statement. Obviously, this man was disturbed and needed much help. And... it was referenced again in his sentencing. It was speculated that Chapman wanted Lennon's innocence to be preserved, and that by killing him, he was
saving him.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So just follow that logic there. Mm-hmm. Mm. The way that the character of Holden Caulfield wants to save children from some of the horrible things in the world, that he wanted to save Lennon's memory and, like, icon as being, like, I want to preserve you. I know. Like, it's messed up.
Okay.
Okay. He got caught. Like, what, oh, yeah, what no, happened he, like, to him? Like,
He definitely went to jail. I don't know what his sentence was, but he fully admitted it. He wasn't, like...
Yeah, he
was very much like, I did this, and here's why. Another assassination attempt was John Hinckley Jr. attempted assassination on Ronald Reagan in 1981.
I think I knew that. I didn't know the name. I knew that there was an attempted assassination against him.
Yes.
But I didn't know it was tied to this book.
Right. So it's kind of a looser tie, but police found this book amongst many of his things in his hotel room. And another person, Robert John Bardot, murdered Rebecca Schaefer, who is an actress, and he was carrying the book when he visited her apartment in 1989. Going back to the Hinckley's assassination on Reagan, or attempted assassination, I'm sorry. Do you know anything about that attempt? It's bonkers.
I mean, my brain isn't so working now, but...
He did it, get this, to try to win over and impress Jodie Foster. Because he was obsessed with the movie Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Where Jodie plays a 12-year-old... child prostitute.
That's a wonky-ass movie.
We're not even going to fucking talk about Taxi Driver.
No. We cannot Taxi Driver.
Because that's some fucked up shit.
I remember watching that, and I watched it alone.
No. Oh my god.
No, but, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so John Hinckley Jr. was obsessed with the movie, obsessed with Jodie Foster.
Gross.
And so he felt like and he had been, like, basically stalking her, and he felt like, in order to impress her, I'm going to do this. At first, he was obsessed with Jimmy Carter, who was a president, and then Reagan becomes president, and then he's obsessed with Reagan and assassinating him to get right. Okay. It's just like...
Okay. I see your logic in, like, a really messed up freaking way, but okay.
Oh, just, like, not good stuff. Okay.
Because Jodie Foster used to be a little bit off. Like, no? Am I, like, making that up? Am I starting rumors? I don't know. I feel like there was a time where, like... There's like,
I know she like defends a bunch of Mel Gibson's bullshit. Yeah, he's a fucking crazy person.
Yeah, like that. Not that she herself is nuts, but like that she. I remember just having mixed feelings about like
she maybe her is past. A little bit yeah. She's an interesting individual. But
clearly, nothing like so awfully maybe terrible. Maybe just the fact that
like she was a child actress and like her parents allowed her to be a prostitute in this fucking movie. Like who does put that? This movie through? And, also, like what
that movie too? Like there are some things like child actors and actresses that like you can tell that like their role in the movie is unbeknownst to them. Like they're just in the movie acting,
right?
Like
no, but not her in not that movie.
Her in that movie. Like I
she's
thought
a
that...
big. It's a big. Character. It's big anyway. It's ugh. Just no. I can't even talk about that anymore. Okay. No. Obviously this book is one of the most censored books in American history.
Okay.
According to one record, there are 237 uses of the word goddamn.
Goddamn.
58 uses of the word bastard.
Oh, I don't like that
it's
word.
Not a word that we even really use anymore.
No,
because I don't like it. Because it's dumb. And 31 instances of Christ's sakes spelt all as one word. In the 1970s, many high school teachers who were assigned the book obviously got in trouble, and some were even forced to resign.
Oh.
And... It was at the same time in the 1970s and 80s, one of the most read books in high school, as well as one of the most censored.
Hmm.
So it was incredibly, because it was so popular, but it was also really controversial. I mean, like, kind of in a very incredibly similar but different way. Like the Harry Potter series is very, like, censored, where people are uncomfortable with it because of its use of magic and, like, you know, worship of, like, witches and wizards.
Right.
But also incredibly popular.
Right.
I want to talk about the author himself, J.D. Salinger.
Okay.
He is a really interesting person. He believed in several different religions throughout his life. He also was very famously a recluse. Like, he did not... He wasn't agoraphobic, but he...
Antisocial?
Yeah, like, very antisocial. Okay. Like, did not leave his house in New Hampshire. I'm pretty sure it was in New Hampshire.
Okay.
He had published several pieces before Catcher in the Rye. And I kind of want to talk mostly about some of his relationships, because they're interesting. So,
okay.
So just like...
How do you meet someone if you're a recluse?
Great question.
Online? That wasn't
He wrote letters to people. He wrote letters to people.
Okay.
People he admired, like other writers he admired. In 1972, at the age of 53, he had a relationship with an 18-year-old.
Okay.
Joyce Maynard.
Joyce, what do you think?
It lasted for about 9 months. She was a writer for 17 Magazine.
Oh my gosh.
And she had published a piece for the New York Times titled, An 18-Year-Old Looks Back on Life.
Okay.
Yeah, so she had published this piece for 17 Magazine. I guess he read it because it was kind of like a big piece. And he had a letter correspondence with her and they had a relationship again. Such an age difference.
Like, what is he doing reading 17 Magazine?
What are her parents doing letting her have a relationship with him at the age of 53.
I just...
Mm-mm. She's 18, but he's 53.
Yeah.
Okay. Salinger wrote a letter to her warning about living with fame, because she kind of became famous before this for this article. And he basically warned her, saying, like, don't let fame do this to you. After exchanging 25 letters, Maynard moved in with him after her freshman year at Yale. Girl, stay at Yale.
What are you doing?
Graduate.
Oh my god. I feel like this is like ending in like, then he murdered her.
No, but like, you're not wrong. In
oh
that.
God.
But I mean, just in the creepiness level,
okay.
I feel.
Okay.
So, again, after spending about 9 or 10 months there, the relationship ends, and he told his daughter Margaret, who was definitely older than 18 at the time,
mm-hmm.
It was because Maynard wanted children, and he felt that he was too old. In her autobiography, though, she says something very different, that J.D. Salinger abruptly ends the relationship and refused to take her back. He basically was like, I'm done with you, goodbye. Like,
okay.
You've been living in my house for 10 months, and I'm done. And apparently what had happened was... Salinger started a relationship with other women, also via letters, including
always
his last wife. Right, those red receipts. Except for it was letters. He ends up marrying a nurse who somehow he had exchanged letters with, and that he was married to until his death.
Okay.
Oh, J.D. Salinger. I don't even know where to start. It's very much understood and speculated and, like, kind of confirmed by him that Holden Caulfield, the character, is very autobiographical.
Okay.
It's very, like, his life, he grew up in kind of the Northeast, like, New York, New Hampshire, Connecticut, whatever, that mm-hmm. whole area. And so... I don't know. There's just a lot about him that I don't love, and his relationship with, like, much, much, much younger women is bizarre to me, and He, like I said, he was a recluse. He was very specific on the cover of the book. If you go to a bookstore right now today and buy Catcher in the Rye, it's either going to be one of, like, three things.
Okay.
It's going to be, like, a dark maroon cover with yellow font.
Yeah.
A dark emerald kind of green cover with yellow font. Or it's going to be this picture of a horse, like a carousel horse. He was very specific in that he did not want the art cover art to ever change from that. Like, I don't know what you have to, legal document you have to sign to make it that way, but he was like, this is, I don't want a cover. I don't want, even like the carousel, I don't even know if he approved that. Like, he was like, I want it to be this blank cover.
Okay.
There was at one point, many different people tried to get a deal for a movie of the book, including Jerry Lewis, who was like a comedian, right? He was like goofy, wacky Jerry Lewis.
Okay.
He wanted the rights to the movie, and again, J.D. Salinger was like, no. He was just such a private person, just like really odd, and like the way we say like introverted so much now, like he really was an introvert. He didn't do very many interviews ever, especially later in life. And he had started a few different novels that he talked about, and that some of the women he was in relationships with and his last wife said, like, oh yeah, he's started these other novels and he's finished these other novels, but he doesn't want to publish them. And so obviously in the writing community, in the publishing community, they're very much, like, sought after, but they're never going to get published.
Right.
Even though they're completed, and I'm, you know. But it reminded me of Harper Lee.
Okay, yeah.
Her book, Ghost at a Watchman, was published. She's the author of To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. And
I've read
that. It was
kind
of controversial. Yes, yes. It was kind of controversial whether Ghost at a Watchman should be published because she was very old when it was and kind of in and out of...
Oh. Sanity?
Yeah.
Like, loosely.
Yes. Was she aware of what was happening?
Oh, okay.
Kind of a thing. Anyway, after all of the research and everything I was doing on this book, I was like, thank God I don't have to teach this book, which made me think, what is my favorite book to teach? Aww. And it is a book written by a woman. And that book is The Outsiders by Essie Hinton.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
It's so, so good.
Now you can watch the movie.
Which is also what I want to reference is the movie is so good. So she wrote the book. She started it when she was 17. She was a junior in high school. She based it on two rival gangs growing up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it's about the Sosches and the Greasers. It's basically like the Greasers are from the wrong side of the tracks, the Sosches are these like popular rich kids. I read this book every year with my seventh graders, and they love it. Like, they really do. The kids love it. They love the book. They love when we watch the movie. The cast of the movie is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, whatever. Okay, whatever. But, like, Tom Cruise, Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze.
Heart throbs.
Emilio Estevez.
Mm-hmm. He never did it for me, but...
But, like, every... Ralph Macchio from Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm.
C. Thomas Howell, the lead actor. Like, every... Matt Dillon.
Names.
Is Dallas. Like, people. It's a great movie. Francis Ford Coppola directed it. Essie Hinton was a, like, co-writer of the movie, and she was on the set and everything. She was, like, our age when they made the movie.
Wow.
And all the guys called her, like, mom, because they were, like, teenagers, and she was, like, in her 30s, and it was, like, adorable. She has, like, a tiny bit role as a nurse in the movie.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah. She has, like, this great curly hair. I don't even think you know this about me. My first year teaching the book, my students loved it so much, and I tweeted out at her, like, my kids love this, you know, we're reading it right now, and she responded to me, and it was such a great moment in my
life. What?
Because she also is a really private person.
She printed out and frame it.
I did.
Did you? Good.
It's in my classroom? Yes.
Good.
So that's where I wanted to end, was, like, who's a great female author that I just want to celebrate? And it is her, Essie Hinton. Wonderful. And the reason the book, why she goes by Essie Hinton is because the publisher basically told her, like, critics are not going to read a book written by a 17-year-old girl, which
right.
at the time, in the 60s when she wrote it, like, no one was going to read a book written by a 17-year-old girl. So she ended up continuing going by that pen name because she's like, well, I've kind of established myself under this name. And eventually people knew her as Susan Eloise is her name.
Aww.
So she's wonderful, and I love her. I'm not even going to entertain the idea that J.D. Salinger or Catcher in the Rye started the fire, because I just don't even want to give them that much credit.
No.
If anything, Essie Hinton wrote, she started my fire.
Yeah, for sure.
Fucking love her.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't want to give Catcher in the Rye any more reason to, like, start angst.
No, I guess it's an American classic. Go read it if you want, but I'm over it.
I'm pass. I pass.
Pass. It's a no from me, dog. All right.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye. Wir sind hier zum Feiern.